I want to go ahead and transition now into the particular word that I have. I want to finish up this series, the Department of DOD, Distractions of Destiny. I spoke on that on the first series. The second part was revealing the coils of the python. And what I'm going to do is finish up on this particular message that the Lord has given me. And I know this to be something that has been very heavy in my spirit, and also what I believe we have to have an understanding of why the spirit of python is so prevalent today. Amen. So if you do, if you have your bagels in one hand, get your Bible in the other, because the manna is coming down from heaven. Amen. Yes. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 16. We'll start at verse 6 through 10, and then we'll jump down to 16 through 18. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16, and begin reading at verse 6. I'm going to begin reading at verse 6, and then we'll transition over. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Jump down to verse 16, please. At verse 16, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that very moment, the Spirit left her." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you, Father, that you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and open our hearts to receive, oh God. We thank you that the soul today, Lord, is removing every inch of the grips of the python. Father, we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. I want you to understand a couple of things. When God gives an assignment to you, whether it be ministry or may it be something that God has called you to do, there is always going to be an attack to keep you from moving forward. There is always something that is going to come against the provision, the purpose, and the plan of God, and especially around ministry. If you've got something that God has put in your spirit concerning ministry, know this, that spirit is coming to try to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. How many of you have experienced that before in your life? Amen. Then you're doing the right thing. Amen. Because when you have a thought to do it and then you just go do it on your own will, your own energy, your own thing, if it's birthed in the flesh, it's maintained by the flesh. But it's birth of the Spirit maintains it for you. Are you hearing me? He received a vision, direction, and also a territory. I began to share with you before that this particular spirit is very territorial. It keeps ministries and people with purpose and vision, and it stops them from moving any further and gaining more territory. So if you ever come against something that you know God has called you to, then know this, the enemy does not want you to gain more territory. So he tries to stop you. There was a need. Come, for we need you. The Macedonian man said, come, for we need you. Every time you're doing something for God, for the kingdom of God, there is a need that must be met. Hello? There is a need that must be met, and you will face opposition every single time you begin to step in to your purpose, your call, and your destiny. Because the spirit wants to stop you. It is called distractions. We understood that in this particular region that it was not a region where they had altars or houses of worship. because these men were going to a place of prayer. This spirit wants to stop you from getting into that place of worship, the place of prayer, the place of intimacy with God. Every time you come into that place, hey, I feel the Holy Ghost, my God. Every time you come to that place of getting consecrated for God and getting into that place of intimacy, something comes to distract you. Every time you purpose to do something for God where it's just you and God, we're going to deal with this thing once and for all. God, show me me. Show me how to get rid of this thing that's in me. Show me what I got to do to make it right with you, to make it right for the kingdom. Something comes in to distract you from doing that very thing. How many of you have quiet times with the Lord? Quiet times, right? Until your phone distracts you. Your kids distract you. Your wife, your husband, your cat, your dog. The owl outside the window that is, huh? Something comes to distract you from getting closer. The reason for this spirit to come in is to keep you from getting into that place that he's going to reveal more of himself to you. And in this particular area, in this region, they were so used to having oracles, but not oracles of God. These were oracles. They were witches, the witches of Endor. They were witches that people would go to and pay money to receive guidance, to receive a word. I want you to hear this, because this is where I'm going to transition into this particular part of this message, is that the reason why the Python spirit comes, because it's in direct opposition to the prophetic word of God. I've been asking God, what is it that every time somebody gets a word, it goes the opposite direction? If it's you, God, it should just come forth. You said let, and it was. You looked to it and said, let it be, and it was. So if a word is coming from God, begins to speak to you, know this, it is going to happen. It is going to manifest. It will be creative in miracle. It will be creative in your realm, and it will release its power like it was said to do. It's not going to return void to God. Amen. But there are some things that tend to happen every time you get instructions, you may not see the fulfillment. How many of you have had a dream or a vision that looks so grandiose? Like, woo, I'm going to be in full stadiums. My God, it's full. People everywhere. And then you go do your first crusade and it's like five people. Same people that follow you all the time. I love you, mom and dad, but we need some other folks. And then you wonder, was this really you, God? Did I hear you right? You know how our voice changes when we was it you? But the truth of the matter is, he wants to see if you're going to continue on regardless of the numbers. Are you going to be faithful when it has nothing to do with the way it looks in your eyes, but how he looks upon it over your life? The spirit, the coils of the python come in very sly. Very sly. The very characteristics of a python is they are blind and they're deaf. They can't see very well, nor can they hear very well. And we get so tripped up about snakes. I hate them. Theo, let me just tell you, Elder Popo will confirm this particular story that Papa Louie was telling us, that we were in a tent meeting in Kenya. And there was all kinds of commotion going on. He thought it was the spirit of God moving so strong that people were falling out. But it was a black mamba that had showed up in underneath the seats. And people were running and they were scared and they were falling out because they were tripping. Papa Louis said, I thought they were falling under the Holy Ghost. So the man went over there and cut it with the shovel and cut the head off. Did he not remember the story? Truth to be told right there. I said, I'm glad I wasn't there. If a black mama came into the service, I said, oh, no, that's my cue. See you later. I'm going back to the plane. I'm going home. But snakes and pythons in particular, they only know where you're at. You better hear this. You better hear this. When you stir up the dust and they can begin to sense you with the tongue on where you're at based on the movement of the dirt. Can I just get into this? I have a whole bunch of notes. But I know this to be the word of the Lord. We were created in the garden from the dirt. So when God breathed his breath, his pneuma, his purpose, his life into us, we became living beings. We were formed from the dirt to become flesh. So when we start kicking up flesh and we start kicking up things of carnality, then the python begins to have access and location to where we're at, because we're no longer living by the breath and purpose of God. We're living under the carnality assumption of who we want to be as opposed to what God has called us to be. And when we start kicking up dirt, my God, the spirit of the python can locate you right where you're at. I said, well, then I don't want to be anywhere where there's dirt. And the Lord said, Marty, you don't understand. It's a spiritual thing. You start acting a little sideways when you start doubting my word. That's flesh that begins to stir things up of doubt. And the python spirit comes in to coil itself around your soul. Why do you think I came to save your soul? Not your spirit. How am I coming to save what I've given you? It's already sanctified. Because it's his breath that's in you. His spirit. But your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. The python spirit coils itself around your emotions, around your mind. And if he can get your mind and your emotions, he's got your will. He's got your will. So I begin to inquire, God, I don't want to kick things up in the spirit like that. I want to continue in being in your presence. He says, that's what Paul was doing. I sent them there on purpose. And they were encountered by this spirit of divination. Puthon, python. And they were encountered on the way in the time of worship and prayer. See, many Christians, many folks, and those of you watching me by way of video, many believe that Christians cannot be taunted by a spirit. Or maybe you just don't believe that there is a spiritual realm of this nature. If you can believe in God and the angels of God, you better know of the third of the host of angels that came down are still lingering around. And they come to wreak havoc in your life, and they hide themselves so deep within your soul, so deep within your emotions that you don't realize they're even there. And so a man or woman of God that has the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost shows up to stir that thing up, to get rid of it once and for all. I'm here to tell you that this service today is to rid the very spirit and the coils that have come around your ministry, your life, your finances, and your health. Because I'm telling you, we are moving into the things that God has called us to do, regardless of what comes to distract us, regardless of what comes to irritate us or how we think it should be. We are going to do as God said to do. Amen. Can I get an amen in him? Can I get an amen like you really witnessed, like you know it's true? Because if you're dog tired of dealing with this thing, you've got to be tired, so tired that you finally had enough. Because if you ain't tired, you won't make a change. Huh? They don't want to hear this one today. Y'all don't want to hear this today. Let me get into a service where it's only 45 minutes. Praise, worship, tithes, offering, and a little cutesy word to make me feel good for a minute. But your house is in ruins. Your marriage is jacked up. Your health is in despair. You got a child in drugs, but you won't step up and believe the word of God. We need to have church the way God intended us to have church. We're not of this world. We are of the supernatural kingdom of God.
that our supernatural is our natural. We have to move by the power and the authority that he gave us in the garden. He said, have dominion over every creeping thing. Everything. So when that serpent came walking in the garden, he said, now I curse you to eat the dust. He's closer to creation now. The dust. But the difference now is that he's closer to the carnality and not the spirit. The moment you step into your carnal mind, you've opened the gate. Oh, Lord. I greeted you already, didn't I? Because just making sure I greeted you because I still want you to love me. I just want to do everything right. You know how it is, right?
I bless all the pastors in the house and those that are listening.
Listen, the church was called into a dark place. It was birthed in a room. It was birthed in a room and not in a cathedral. It was birthed in an upper room and not in a facade that looked good. It was birthed in a cramped place. It was birthed in a stinky place. If you don't think it, they were sitting there for over 40 days. They were sitting there together until the day of Pentecost came. They were stinking and they're thinking until they came into one accord. And when they came into one accord with the Spirit of God, purpose began to drive them. And then there was a sound, and the sound entered in like that of a mighty rushing wind. It was the breath of God that met them right where they're at, because they obeyed the word of the Lord. I go to be with the Father so that I can send you the promise. A promise is sent to you even when you're cramped in a place with other people that you don't even want to be in. We think just because we're in one accord with the Spirit that our ministries have to be the same. No! He called you from the end of time into your beginning. And you have a purpose that is specifically made for you. You can only do you, baby. Don't be anybody else. Don't be no copycat. Don't try to mold yourself like somebody else. Be you. And if they don't like you, get to step in. Lord. Mama, I was happy. Oh, I was happy. Because I know what the Lord has done for me. I know what he brought me from. How many of you can look over your life and say, I should have been dead. I should have been in the grave. But the breath and purpose of God kept me. I knew I wasn't done yet. I knew the enemy couldn't take me out because it wasn't not yet my time. Hear this. I've called you for such a time as this, church. I've called you for such a time as this. Your Kairos moment, God, has met up with my Chronos time. And when it lines up, purpose is achieved. He gave them a vision, a dream. Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop seeing. Keep believing, regardless of where it takes you. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like, regardless on who's around you, because the purpose inside of you may make you leave one place to get to another, may make you leave what you once knew to get to another, and may transition you out. Hear this, because the church of Acts, the church, the book of Acts, the church that was birthed in Acts, the new birth of the new church, it came with opposition. The opposition made them leave what they were so comfortable being in. I like what I felt in the upper room. Can we stay? God said no. Too many of us want to stay in the experiences we once had. That's your emotions.
Many of your emotions have been wounded from the church that you first came from. You want me to say it again? I will. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. You're welcome, sir. Just a little side conversation. Just give me a second. Just me and God, that's all. Some of you have wounds from the past church you were at, and you want to blame the pastor for it. You want to blame the spiritual mother of the house. You want to blame the elders, or you want to blame the leaders. How about looking in the mirror and say, it's time to deal with this thing? Because I'm a flesh, and I've got to deal with my flesh, and I've got to deal with this wound so that I can have more spiritually minded instead of carnality minded. It is time for us to mature. Y'all may not like how I'm going to say this. You better get off the breast and start eating the meat. Oh, I want milk, because God's he going to take me to a land flowing with milk and honey. That was the first battle they had to fight. And many more to come. In the wilderness, he fought. In the promised land, you fight. It's not time to lay down your spiritual weapons. It's time to take them up. And it's time to understand who you're fighting against. You're fighting against a spirit that has come against your prophetic word, your prophetic destiny, and the purpose of God. It comes against your health. How many of you have back problems right now? Stand up. Stand up. You have back problems. One, two, three, four. There's two more in here that y'all ain't standing up. There's two more in y'all. There's one. There's got one more. There's one more in here. I know it. There's one more. Who's got back problems? All right, here we go. In the name of Jesus, I bind the python spirit off of your life right now. And I command it off of your spine and off of your health right now. In Jesus' mighty name. It has constricted your spine and has caused the curvature of your spine to be abnormal. I bind it now in the name of Jesus. And I loose you into your freedom and off of the nerves and off of the muscles and the tendons for it to be aligned as God ordained for your spine. In Jesus' mighty name, you may be seated. Hallelujah. This spirit wants to come against your worship, your intercession. It wants to come against your finances, and it wants to come against your authority. This spirit has come at the very beginning of time when it entered into the garden. When it entered the garden, it began to speak against your very word that was spoken to you. Have this understanding. When God spoke to Adam and Eve, told them what to do, how is it that the spirit didn't come in when God told Adam to name all the animals? And God never corrected him. It wasn't, watch this. You better hear this. This isn't going against women. This is going against agreement. Watch this. It wasn't until someone else could agree with the doubt that the spirit coiled itself. Y'all better hear this. The spirit is just looking for an agreement with a false word or a half truth. The moment you come into agreement with it, you begin to doubt God. And that's how it begins to manifest. This spirit wants to come in to make you begin to doubt the word. It comes against your faith so that you no longer understand the dominion and the authority that God has given you in the very beginning. Many preachers preach about, well, we lost it in the garden. I don't know about you, but I wasn't there. You're not going to put that on me. You were born into sin. Jesus already died for my sins. Already died. When my mother gave birth to me, I was born into righteousness because she prayed me through. She was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Are you hearing this? The enemy will twist lies and make you feel like you were born into it. No, we're not. Curses come through the lineage. So do blessings that go down 1,000 generations. Are you hearing this? God intended for you to be blessed and to increase and to multiply. There was nothing about God taking away. It was about giving you more. So the spirit of Python comes in to take away what? Faith. Take away what? Your health. Take away what? Take away your finances. Those of you that are in ministry or getting ready to go into ministry, if you wonder why at times that you begin to increase a little bit, then the next thing you know, you come into lack. There's a spirit there that's attached to it. Because the moment you step into what God called you to do, that spirit begins to move behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. If he can work with stopping the finances, it stops you in your tracks. And you wouldn't notice it. Well, I guess it's not God because he's not providing. You know, if it's God's, you know, if it's God, then he would provide. You know, it's his bill. It's his will, his bill. Oh, man, I heard all that. And I said, you know what? Shut up. You know, we get bound by more Christians today by what they say. If the enemy uses the word to bind up people, he's going to use it to you. We need to have that understanding. He's going to try to use a half-truth. And once you see it, recognize it. And don't listen to it and agree with it because it manifests. Amen? Amen. I told you that the faces that work together and they create altars in your life is Jezebel. Jezebel is an occult empowered. It is anti-prophetic and manifests a great deal of control. And it creates an altar in your life. What does that mean? It means it wants to get your worship and your praise instead of giving it to God. How? By manipulating and controlling you. Leviathan, which is pride, it wants to make an altar where it's continually being lifted up as opposed to lifting the name of Christ. Absalom, which manifests in spiritualized ambition. In other words, they want you to think that all that you're doing is because you can control your life. Truth of the matter is, God is in control. Amen. So it creates an altar in your life thinking that you can do it by base what God has already given you. You can do it because you have the ability to do it. What scripture is that? Is I've given you the power to obtain wealth. I'm trying to tell you that because of your gifts and your talents, you can become wealthy because you did it. We got to tear down those altars. Python, which manifests in compromise, and it goes against, it's very anti-apostolic, and it hates prayer and prophetic declarations. It sets up an altar in your life where people will long to look for more prophetic ministries and prophetic words as opposed to getting into the word and getting into his presence for an understanding of what God has for them instead of going to another person to hear the will of God. You're doing the same thing as going to now another oracle that is not of God, as and they may be godly, but what you're doing is placing them on the altar. Are you hearing this? The characteristics of the python is very territorial. It stops you from growing into the different territories. It desires to work through other people. It will get close to you. It will get very, size you up to understand what your purpose and your plans are for God and begin to get even closer to be a part of you, but that's not to be your alliance. You need to know who God has called to be at your side. Because where you're going, not everybody's going. And who you're to deal with, not everybody's going to deal with it like you. Oh, yeah. This spirit works outside the church by manifesting in New Age. It channels energy, fortune telling, horoscopes, and etc. This spirit works outside the church to get people outside of the relationship and worship with the Lord to go and seek mediums to hear for themselves. Are you seeing that? Inside the church, it manifests through prophetic people who refuse to submit to authority. Did I say it again? It works inside the church by manifesting through prophetic people who refuse to submit to authority. They claim they receive heaven revelation and prophecy, but never submitting to authority. They rely on their own revelation and their own prophecy as opposed to hearing from God. Are you hearing this? Number three, the python spirit shows up in ancient history as an oracle that sits at the gates. It sits at the gates. In Greek mythology, it was representative as a woman. This woman would be nude and would begin to speak oracles to those that would pay money. Now, I need you to hear this and have this understanding. The spirit of Python will bring about a sensual spirit in your realm. A very sexual, perverted spirit will enter into your realm of influence. I need you to hear this and have an understanding of this. It's very sexual in nature to appeal to the lack in your life. the lack of affirmation in your life. Are you hearing this? What it will do, begin to go after the things that you feel that you are inadequate in. Your weaknesses, your shortcomings. But first, before it goes to those areas, it's going to speak sensual things that you want to hear because it knows what you're lacking, because it operates through familiar spirits. Familiar spirits will speak to this python spirit so that it can coil itself around your emotions. And if you haven't dealt with the baggage in your life, the things in the closet, what's going to happen is you'll keep carrying those issues in your life every single place you go. If we're going to clean out our closets, let's get to the garage too. Let's get to the attic and to the basement. Do you understand? Because where we park things at time for shelter so that it doesn't get ruined is some of the altars need to come out of there as well. And some of the things in the attic in your mind need to be dealt with because they've been there for so long that your mind is getting and just getting coiled up with all these kinds of emotions from the things of what, how someone treated you in the past, of what church was in the past. And if it's not how church was back then it's not church today. See, you hold a preconceived notion that it has to be a certain way in order for it to be God. Get rid of that baggage in your life. Get rid of that emotional scarring that's been there. Take the bandage off, baby, and apply the balm of Gilead so that we can move forward and grow in God. Hallelujah. I'm still an introduction. Okay. According to Isaiah 41:21, watch this. The spirit of divination, which claims to predict accurately, it cannot unless it's from God. Isaiah 41:21. It cannot do so outside the revelation of God and through his authentic prophets. I have been around some prophetic people. And pathetic people. I'm going to give you a prophecy. I'm about to prophesy to you. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear so that you can believe I'm a prophet of God. Manipulation. Centralizing what your lack is to capitalize. How many of you have been, oh Lord, this is going to get some, I'm going to have all kinds of emails, man. All kinds. How many of you have been around prophets that they require you to give a seed after you receive a word? I bless you. You need to give, you got to bless the prophet. Unless the Lord tells you. Unless the Lord tell you. You better hear the Lord tell you to put a seed. What happened, where that came from, is from this. The false oracles that were receiving money in giving false words. I've been around a ministry for a minute. Some of you have been in ministry for a while. You've been around people that can prophesy some things and like, wow. That's powerful. How'd you know that? Man, that's so accurate. Man, I'm going to give you my car. Until the Lord told me one day, he says, you know, the demons speak to other demons. Demons communicate with other demons to tell of what's already taken place, but cannot tell you the future. Begin to speak to an individual to tell you something to get your attention, to give you off course. Now, I know there's real prophets out there that will prophesy your address, your social security number, your bank account, and how much is in your bank account. But unless they lead you something into your destiny and your future concerning Christ, just back off. Back off. There is accuracy, and I believe, trust me, I know about accuracy. I'm a recipient of those that have prophesied in my life and even spelled out my name, and they don't even speak English. From another country. And told me, this is you. I'm a recipient of those kind of words. But then what followed that is the heart of God for my life. What God wanted and desired me to go toward. Do you understand? To keep me going towards Christ. Now, this spirit python will get people enticed by a word so that we'll follow that word. But it didn't come from God. It came from a familiar spirit. Because it begins to centralize the things that you're in lack of. Go back and watch the video. I'm telling you. This thing is so intertwined in church today that we don't even realize it. People say that church is so full of hypocrites. It's just like saying the hospital is full of sick people. It's supposed to be, because we're getting changed, transformed, and renewed so that we can no longer be the same. But we got to bring people to come in and get restored, healed, transformed, and renewed. So a critical spirit ties in with a python spirit. It begins to criticize the ministry and the authority so that you no longer receive from the ministry or the authority. That's a python spirit. Some of the symptoms of the coils is lethargy, isolation, hopelessness, poverty, frequent letdowns in finances, financial setbacks, very few quality relationships, feeling constricted or a sense of suffocation, a foggy mind, difficulty focusing, weariness, and lack of ambition. Feeling paralyzed, indifference, and apathy. Oppression and depression, and suicidal thoughts. Difficulty worshiping and difficulty praying. This spirit comes in to bring all that to get you away from the promise of God. Attacks your purpose, your promise, and your provision. Do you understand? Turn, if you would, to Genesis 2:7. I want you to see this here. Some of the things I already discussed, but I want to make sure that I take you to the word so you can see it. Genesis 2:7 of the King James says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So why is it that the serpent that comes, the python, is used to constrict? Because it wants to take the breath of life out of you. Acts 17, verses 24 through 25, out of the NIV. "The God who made the word, the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." The spirit of Python is after the breath of life. I've come to give you life and to give it what? More abundantly. There's different levels and increases of life that God wants you to experience. Not just that when you first get saved and that's it. You're to live your life with increase and multiplication in the things that he has promised at the very beginning. His intent in the garden is still the final intention for God. He wants you blessed, multiplying, and increasing. It's not going to stop just because a serpent came in to usurp the authority. Jesus took care of that on the cross, and now you're back within that rightful place where you have those provisions, promises, and purposes for your life. Amen? In John 20... Verses 21 through 22 of the NIV reads this way. John 20, 21 and 22. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." The breath is the empowerment of God to do the plans and the purposes of the kingdom. He breathed on them again. Do you see this? First in the garden was the dirt. Watch this. This was life that would begin to understand what exactly God had in store for mankind. But now when you get to the Gospel of John, now he breathes life again, but he breathes you to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is, I've already given you my plan, my purposes, and my thought process so you can see my purposes for you. But now as we transition over into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, now I'm empowering you to do what I promised you in the beginning. You will now walk with the dunamis power to do what I've called you to do, as opposed to just thinking it was back then. Because, you know, God has a way of knowing things, right? God knows all things. Okay. So he knew that we would get to a place where we would pick and choose out of scripture what was then, what was now, what is for then, what was for now, and what we should be following. How many of you run across Christians like that? I run across ministers that way. They say, well, that's the Old Testament. So we do away with it now or what? We do away with the Old Testament, throw that part of the Bible away, and we only use the New Testament? No, it's all inspired word of God for our life. And then I have others that say, well, oh Lord. The gifts were done away with the apostles. And my wife said, throw it up to God. We're not perfect, and the perfect hasn't come. So, yes, we're still in need of the revelatory gifts, and the power gifts, and the working of miracles, and the casting out of demons. Because that is what Jesus said for us to do. He said for us to go and bring the good news to the poor. What is good news to the poor? You ain't gonna be poor. Oh, this is good news to the poor. Oh, you're more blessed because you're poor and you're not tempted with the worldly thing. Really? The worldly things like food, shelter, clothing. Are you hearing this? The spirit of Python is still working in ministers today to try to tell them that you don't need it all. Yes, we need the whole body of Christ, the whole power of the kingdom to get across what needs to get done. We can't minimize just because you don't believe. I had an individual tell me, I don't believe in demons. Really? Hi, mira tú. How nice. You don't believe in demons. Okay. So can I tell you something that I see? Well, I don't believe in prophecy. You ain't got to believe it. But can I tell you? And then reveal what they've been dealing with for 6 years and when it happened and at what age it happened and by whom did it to them. Well, how do you know? That's nothing but demons. No, baby. That's God. Because he's interested in your state of mind and state of being to get you out of that mind, get you out of that state of being, to get you into a new place, to take off the grave clothes and put on new garments of praise, to take off all those things that man has put on you to receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, speaking in tongues went out. Oh, really? You're about to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't believe that. Okay, now you don't believe, but you have it. I love it when God just shows up in love to say, you don't believe because someone told you a lie. You believe the lie more than the truth. Amen. And that's what the spirit of Python does. I said, Lord, the people are jacked up. We have conversations like that. It's okay. Don't judge me.
They're jacked up, and I'm jacked up too. He says, if we don't change our mind where the coil is to keep you from receiving revelation, you're going to believe anything that comes that says it's God. Even the very elect will be deceived. I said, Lord, we need to get out of this. Thank you, thank you. In Jeremiah 14:14, out of the King James Version, watch this. I'm going to begin to transition into the close of this. Jeremiah 14:14 says this, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesied lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spoke unto them. They prophesy unto you false vision and divination, and the thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. God was already warning in the very beginning to the prophet then. There is going to be false prophets arising, speaking to their personal heart, their personal thoughts. Are you understanding this? So if the prophetic begins to move in the last days, y'all better hear this. Don't get caught up with your note takings yet. Just go back to YouTube. The false prophetic has been on a move like never before. Oh, Lord, help me. Send me such and such amount of money and you will receive a prophetic word. Maybe I've got Genesis to Revelation tells me everything I need to know. And if there's something off in my life, Daddy will speak to me. Amen. We need to mature in the things of God to understand that He's still speaking to His church. He's speaking to His children. He's guiding them to a place that He has in store for them. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 24:10-11. Matthew 24:10-11 out of the King James reads this wise. And then shall be many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Sounds like the day that we live in. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. That spirit is coiling itself within the prophetic ministries of God. And we're not realizing it because intercessors have given up on being on their face, praying until God says to stop. We need real intercessors to stay on their face, stand in the gap for the men and women of God and the purposes of God so that we can complete what God said. There are forces trying to stop the move of His Spirit. Whew. Ephesians 6:11. Y'all know this one. I know you know it. If you don't know it, you're gonna know it today. Ephesians 6:11-12 out of the King James reads, put on the whole armor of God. You should have never taken it off. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here's this. Stand against his attacks. Stand against what he's telling you to do. Don't cower and give up. Stand against them. Don't run away. Stand against them. Don't fear him. Stand against them. Don't run from what you don't know. Stand in truth and stand against the lie. My God. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world. What world? What world? This world. Oh, you better hear this revelation. This isn't the heavenly realm. This realm. This realm is your domain. He gave you dominion over the earth and everything in it. If a devil shows up in your home, he does not have dominion over it. You do. If he shows up in your hell, he has no dominion over it. You do. If he shows up in your family, he has no dominion. You do. Tell it to get out. I say, oh Lord, it ain't done. Wait. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Did it say? They're not real. No, they're very real. And he even broke it down where they're at. So when Jesus, watch this, what are the high places, the altars that you have made in your life that you've given him access and rulership and dominion and authority in your life? That's a high place. When every time in scripture that they went to give a sacrifice unto the Lord, where'd they go? To the high places. Why? Because there's where the altars were erected, high places. Why? So that they could see the sacrifice being given. We need to tear down the altars of the false gods in our life. Are y'all seeing that? Are you understanding it? You need to read this in your word. You need to read this one in your word I'm about to show you. And I'll break it down with the last few minutes that I have. Revelations 12, 17. Turn there. Can you? Revelations 12, 17. Keep it. Revelations 12, 17. You could just write the scripture out, Patricia, just so they know the reference. You don't have to put the whole thing. Just Revelations 12, 17. Revelations 13, 1 and 2. Okay? Revelations 12, 17 and Revelations 13, 1 and 2. Here's the reason we're dealing with this now in this season of the church as a whole. And it's being exposed for a purpose and a reason. In Revelations 12, 17, it says, and the dragon, Tanin, was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now, I want you to understand this. I'm not finished here reading it, but I want you to understand the seed. When he spoke to Abraham, he says, I will bless your seed. That's you. That's you. Then he speaks to Jacob. And he says to Jacob, I will bless your seed that is far more greater than the dirt, the dust. Do you see where the serpent wants to come in? To take the seed. What is seed? The word of God deposited in your life. Wants to take that away from you. And if it can take it away, it can remove purpose and destiny. Stand against the devil. Watch this. Which keep the commandments of God. Watch this. When it says it will make war with the remnant of the seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What was just said? Who have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And they're not picking and choosing. They accept it whole. Revelations 13. Revelations 13, verse 1 and 2. And here's where it's going to get. Here's where I'm going to show you where it came in. And if we're still dealing with it today. Revelation 13 says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. We have dominion over every swimming thing as well. This is Leviathan, okay? This is the serpent. This is Python. Having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Coming against God, coming against God. Blasphemy is coming against God and the word of God. Revelation 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. If you're reading it, highlight it, underline it, circle it, start. I want you to understand this. I'm going to break these down. A leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. Feet of a bear. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion.
And the dragon, which was the serpent out of the sea, the dragon gave him his power. Are you seeing that? And his seat, his altar, his great authority. This right here, these two beasts are talking about the false prophet and the Antichrist. Now, I'm not going to do the big old teachings like Pastor Hagee does. There's a lot of revelation out there. There's a lot of books concerning the book of Revelation. But I'm going to share with you what the Lord has showed me about this, because I asked in the spiritual sense for where we're at today. I know there's going to be a rapture later. There's going to be something that's going to take place greater. Whenever that is, amen. Hallelujah. But I've got a lot to do now. So I'm not looking to get out. I'm looking to do what I'm here. Amen. Number one, you can make note of this. The seven heads. The spirit of Python comes against your rest. Number seven means rest. Number seven means Sabbath. He's coming against your rest. He's keeping you so anxious and keeping you so worried and stressed. Number two speaks of the ten horns. Number ten is the number of order and the number of law. So he comes against order and comes against the law. He stands against it and stands against the redemptive power. And I want you to understand this. This spirit comes against the redemptive power of the law and his order for redemption, which is Christ Jesus. And it says right after that, he puts crowns on them. What is that? That he glorifies that you are not going to be saved, set free, or healed. You're going to stay in that place of being condemned to the law. And you're going to see so much of this come forth. We had a grace outpouring, people preaching grace and license to sin and all this kind of stuff. But now you're going to start hearing all this kind of preaching about all this sin in your life that's going to get you even more bound now in your life, because God came and sent his son to set you free from the curse of the law. Are you understanding this? You're not under the law, but we follow the law. Okay, just making sure. But don't get so religious and start judging and taking on that seat of the judge. That's not you. Amen. The leopard. Did y'all circle it, highlight it, and star it, all that kind of stuff? The leopard. I found it very interesting. I began to ask the Lord in prayer, why the leopard? Why would you show a leopard in the book of Revelation? Now, how many of you know leopards? Leopards are those spotted animals, right? They're spotted, they're orange, they're black. Now, you understand the traits of this to have an understanding of why God spoke in symbolisms at this time for Revelation. And when I looked up the leopard, it hides in trees, right? Wood in scripture is symbolic of humanity. So the leopard hides within the people. It hides within the people. And the leopard doesn't need to go out in the world to hide, because it can freely walk in the world amongst its own. But in the church, it hides itself within the humanity of the church, the people of the church. How is it that it can't be detected? Because the spots of the leopard throw off and distract the vision of the people. So if vision is distracted, then the authority can't cast vision of what God has spoken and the purpose of God. And vision is now thwarted and canceled because the people can't see, because they become misguided. It distracts vision. Watch this. It says the feet of a bear. The feet of a bear. Now, the bear walk on the ground. I know they climb trees, but where do you find them? On the ground. If they're climbing a tree, is one because they're about to go get something to forage to eat, or they're chasing someone up a tree. But I want you to understand this. So the feet of the bear represents strength and rebirth and the cycle of life. So the coils come to take away your strength, to take away the rebirth into who you're supposed to be in God. And tries to stop the cycle of life that God gave you. Because you are to go and make what? Disciples. You're to go and breathe life into them. You're to go and resuscitate that which is no longer breathing. You're supposed to bring hope to those that are hopeless. Lion has the mouth of a lion. Is in direct opposition with the line of Judah. Direct opposition. It stands as a false king and a false leader. Because this spirit stands as such, it comes against your kingly anointing and it comes against your leadership that God has called you to be. You're no longer servants, you're sons of the Most High God. You're no longer just in the kingdom. Your kingship, your royal priesthood. Do you have this understanding? It's coming against who you are. The Lamb, watch this, in Revelation 13:11 says this, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke as a dragon. Watch this. It comes as a false Messiah. It comes as a false hope. Of a redemptive hope, but it doesn't speak like the lamb, it speaks like the dragon. It speaks just the lies and half truths. It releases false hope in the atmosphere. I hope you understand that we need to get rid of this spirit once and for all. And you need to be able to recognize it and discern it in your life. There's much more teachings on this. Pastor Jensen Franklin has a great teaching on it. I found some of the greatest teaching that I got from this was out of Prophet Ken Clement. He had a great teaching on it as well. And when I began to study and started looking at it, I began to ask God, what is it for me? What do I need to know? So I hope it blesses you, and I hope that you can see that this python spirit is alive and it's moving within the humanity of the church, within the body. And we must be able to understand its tactics so that we can rid it from everybody's life, their soul, mind, and spirit. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please. As I close with this, I want you to just search your heart right now. Is there an area in your life that you have placed a seat or an altar and given authority over to it because it hasn't been dealt with? Whether it be an emotional scar that came from your past, or even something that just transpired this past week, even maybe this morning. Let's rid it. Let's get rid of it. Let's allow God to come in and heal that very wound, that very area of your life. Amen. Now what I want you to do is just lift up your hands as a sign of surrender and a sign of worship unto the Lord. Lord, we surrender to you. Your will, your purpose, and your decrees, and your word. We surrender to you. And at this very moment, Lord, if there's any altars that we have erected in our soul, in our mind, Lord, and not given you the rightful place, Father, we destroy it now in Jesus' mighty name. We bring it down now. Now we speak against the spirit of Python right now. We bind its very works and every linking and attached spirit associated with this spirit. We bind the works of it now, and we release the higher ranking angels of God to deal with the principality and the ruler and the heavenlies now. We thank you right now, Father, that the dominion and the power and the authority that you've given us, that we cancel all of its works right now, off of our health, our finances, our family, and Father, off of our ministry and our purpose. I thank you that you breathe life now into their purpose and their destiny. I thank you, Father, that we begin to move effectively for the kingdom, that we move with purpose for the kingdom. And we thank you now for taking back land, authority, and taking back what the enemy has taken from the church of Almighty God. We thank you for restoration, and we thank you for healing now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen.